You thought you'd seen the last of us. Hello, welcome back to Film Posers for Boricuas, ranting, raving, and reviewing cinema. So we're actually still on break, but we're bringing you a very special bonus episode where we are going to be talking to you about our Los Angeles Latino International Film Festival and Tribeca Film Festival coverage. So yeah, this is a quick chit-chat kind of episode where we're just going to be telling you our experience at these festivals, as well as the films we think you should look out for, or the films we hope you get to see eventually. Like, some of them have not been picked up, but either way, these are the films we enjoyed, so let's share those. I'm going to kick it off real quick with the Los Angeles Latino International Film Festival. That's a mouthful. LALIF.
Sounds better.
This festival, it is part of, like, it follows suit with all the festivals that now are going hybrid. So there were in-person screenings as well as virtual screenings. And we got to attend the virtual portion, of course. And, well, just a few things that I would recommend. Of course, very quick, Nuevo Rico was in this film festival as well. And you definitely know it won. So it won Best Animated Short Film, which we are very happy for. So Nuevo Rico has continued in its sweep.
We love that.
And we are very proud. Yeah. Now, another short film that I really enjoyed was Malinchista by Flora Riz Arredondo. It's an 11-minute short animated film. I feel like it leaves you wanting more, but and I wish it had gone a little bit deeper into something. It feels like the first minutes of a film and then it cuts, so I really wish we could have gotten more, but either way, the animation was beautiful, the story that it was trying to tell was very nice, and I wish this could be a feature length kind of story. And basically, just a little idea, it's a 2D animated short film reclaiming a Spanish slur to empower Latinx women by retelling the story of La Malinche. And then of course Nuevo Rico. There were a lot of anime shorts that I really enjoyed. I guess, like, going into the feature length side of things, the one that I could recommend is Executive Order, which we were also able to see at South by Southwest. Mm-hmm. This film is by Lázaro Ramos. And in a dystopian future, the Brazilian government decrees a measure that forces Black citizens to migrate to Africa in an attempt to return to their origins. Seeing themselves in the center of terror, two cousins take refuge in an apartment where they debate social and racial issues and share the same yearning for the change of country. So Gabriela was able to watch this film at South by Southwest, and I really enjoyed it. I really liked having a moment to finally watch this and appreciate it. And it's 94 minutes, so it's short and sweet. And yeah. I definitely hope more people will be able to watch this film because it explores race in Latino America. And we rarely get to see that, especially with the conversations that have been coming up recently when it comes to race in the Latino community and in South America and in the Caribbean. So I really like how Lázaro Ramos handles it, and I hope more people will be able to experience it.
Yeah, for sure. Executive Order is a film that I haven't really stopped thinking about since I saw it at South by Southwest. So I'm very excited that more people got to see it at LALIF because it's truly a remarkable film.
Yeah, and then another one that... So I wasn't a huge fan of it when I saw it, but a lot of people have been loving this film, and I can see why. It does have... I feel like if I watch it more, I'll appreciate it. It does have the kind of vibe that people that enjoy A24 and Neon will like. And it's called My Heart Can't Beat Unless You Tell It To. Mm-hmm. And it's directed by Jonathan Cuartas. And it's been in a couple of festivals. And it follows Dwight and his sister Jessie that reach a crossroads over what to do about their little brother Thomas, a sickly child with a mysterious affliction. And I definitely think, Anna, you would like it. The cinematography is nice. So this film, I'm not gonna say it lightly. This film is crazy. It's wild. Because essentially, like, you find this out at the beginning, it's they have to I'm like, how do I say it? I'm not even gonna say it in detail. I'm just gonna say that I remember just texting Gabriela. There was a murder in the first few minutes. So that's all I can tell you. This film is wild. They have to kill people to help their little brother survive, and it's crazy. And the way that everything unfolds and unravels is just wild, man. So I wasn't the biggest fan watching it at first, but looking back, I can definitely appreciate it. I think it was just that it was a slow film, and you know that with these festivals, you're trying to watch as much as you can. It did feel a little bit too slow for comfort at the moment, but the more I think about it, it's a good film, and I can see why a lot of people in the Letterboxd reviews are raving about it. Like, a lot of people have been actually liking it, and I think it might release. Don't hold me to that. I don't know. I think it's on iTunes right now, so according to Letterboxd, if I'm wrong, blame Letterboxd. It says you can watch it, so I'm assuming you can rent it. So if you're interested, it's like, I would say it's the aesthetic of an A24 horror film. Especially, it has a kind of vibe that Thirst Reformed had. Thirst Reformed, wow. First Reformed.
The agenda continues.
My impact.
It has that vibe. Just in terms of pacing and mood and atmosphere.
The thirst lives on.
Okay, Josie, you were saying.
But yes, I hope more people take a chance on this. And then there was Woman as Losers, which Gabriela was also able to see before, which she really enjoyed.
Yeah.
And then Bridges, which I would say, if you happen to watch it, I really would recommend. So our friend Ileana Melendez over at Full Circle Cinema Network, she also covered La Leaf, and she was able to interview the director. And this is a very personal story to her. So if you're able to watch, like, I would recommend watching the interview with that, because I really enjoyed seeing her perspective when it came to making it. And it adds so much emotion to it, because it is based on her experience as an undocumented citizen in the United States, and everything, like, wanting, like, seeing everyone, like, you're graduating high school and everyone around you is talking about where they're gonna study and everything, but she can't have those opportunities, she doesn't have a driver's license and everything, and it just deals a lot with that anxiety and the sadness and the fear of not being able to form a part of what you want to be, like not being able to be with your friends and everything. And it was a very emotional film, and I think it was very well handled. And also it has Julissa Calderon from Gentified and Pero Like, so it was nice. So before closing off La Leaf, I'm going to talk about two films that were my standouts and that I really liked, and they were my favorite, especially this one. This one was my absolute favorite, and I got to talk with the director on Instagram, and I'm so happy because this made me cry like a baby, and it broke me and it put me back together, and that is Loma de Lili, and it is directed by Lorena Duran, and it was filmed in the Dominican Republic. It is a short film, 15 minutes total. And the tagline is, some friendships begin at the end. When an electrical job goes wrong, an unfriendly electrician must accept help from a caring spirit to bury the evidence of a fatal accident. Déjame decirte, this is wild. This had me very emotional. It is a very good short, and I can't wait to see what else comes of Lorena Duran's career. It is so beautiful. The cinematography is so nice, and I absolutely loved it. And the final film I really enjoyed. So Loma de Lili was my top, and then Something Blue I really enjoyed. And that is, again, Something Blue, directed by Mariel Garcia Spooner. And it was a collaboration between Panama and Colombia, but it was mostly filmed in Panama. It is 90 minutes total. And it basically follows Anna, who escapes from the hotel where she works, dressed as a bride, and decides that she must get married that same day. She must put everything together before she is caught by Lucia, the owner of the dress, or the police. On this journey, Anna reflects on two love. I really, really, really love this movie, because we rarely get romantic comedies in Spanish set in Latin America. So I really hope this opens the door to so many more opportunities, because I think we are capable of doing as much of the material that we love from American cinema and foreign cinema in South America and in the Caribbean.
Sí.
So espero que podamos ver más cosas así, because Something Blue, like, some people might say it's basic. I thought it was perfect. As a romantic comedy connoisseur, I think it was what it was supposed to be, what it was meant to be, and it gets the job done. I recommend Something Blue. I can't wait for it to be out there for more people to experience it. I really hope que llegue aquí a Fine Arts o algo, no sé. Quiero que más gente puedan disfrutar de esta película, because it's so much fun and we deserve fun Spanish films. Y nada, Gabriela me informó que apparently they're gonna be at Cannes, so I'm gonna have a freak out. So that's all from The Leaf. I'm just gonna let Gabriela take over when it comes to the Tribeca coverage, so take it away.
Oh my god, okay. So Josie and I attended the Tribeca Film Festival, which is held every year in New York as press. And we were very excited, as we are every time we get invited.
Quick thing about this festival is that it was also hybrid. So yeah, there were in-person screenings and there was virtual press.
Yes. So Josie and I were very excited, as we always are when we get to attend a film festival as press. You know, we're excited to discover new films and all that fun stuff. So right off the bat, with Tribeca, there was a lack of communication from the very beginning. So basically, when we were informed that that our press credentials were approved, that was basically all we heard from the press office. We did not hear anything more about them throughout the festival. And it was very frustrating, because obviously then we didn't know what to do, like how to, you know, activate our passes and how to access the films and all of that. And so we got an email saying to activate like our PN1 library, which is basically like the platform where all of the virtual screenings were going to take place. Now, from the beginning, Tribeca had informed us that we would have access to all the films playing at the festival, only to find out the day before the festival began that was not the case, that there were certain films that we were not going to be able to watch because they were only going to be held in person.
And it was just constant, because what would happen is that we would reach out and they would then send a mass email or a mass letter answering those emails, because more than one person would be asking the same question, mm-hmm. because we were all confused and we were all having the same
questions,
stumbles when it came to this festival. So like one thing, like the best example is that at one point we were saying, hey, some films are not on the platform. When are we going to have them available? And then they sent a new list with the films that would be available. And basically all of the headlining films or the most anticipated ones were not available to us. Mm-hmm. So that was the biggest thing. Like, for example, my most anticipated film was the Anthony Bourdain documentary, and we were not able to see it. And then there was Werewolves Within, which is one that has been getting a lot of buzz, which a lot of us were looking forward to, and we were not able to watch it either. Yes, we are doing our coverage, but it is a little bit upsetting, because we know that ultimately the people that do decide whether a film is going to be available or not are the publicists and the people running the films. But again, it was just a lack of communication, and a lot of us just felt a little bit in the dark. And hopefully it gets better next year, because I don't think they're going to do virtual. A lot of these festivals are doing in person again. A lot of things are going back to in person, which also speaks to like screenings in general, not just film festivals. Asking for screeners and all of that jazz is just changing again since we're going back to the old normal. But I hope this serves as a lesson that it should be more accessible to people. And one good example is TIFF, which will be held in September, that has decided to carry on their in-person and virtual hybrid stance moving forward, as well as Sundance. So here's to hoping.
Yeah.
Because accessibility and communication is very important when it comes to press, because again, some of us, I mean, some people are doing this for free and just for pure love of the craft, and other people generally rely on it for their jobs and actually have to do a good job for it and need proper communication to be able to do a good job. So it's just a give and take. Gotta find a balance. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And I think also a turning point for many of the critics was when films were started being removed from the platform, despite us being told that the films would be available until like the 23rd of June. Yeah, like halfway through the festival, like films just started not being available anymore, and everyone was so confused. And after people emailed, you know, asking like what is going on, I thought we were supposed to have these films available until the 23rd. They then sent one of those mass emails saying that no, certain films are no longer available, but they sent that after the films were removed from the platform. Like, they could have at least told us beforehand, so then people would have been able to prioritize those films.
But yeah, all in all, in terms of films, like, let's not focus on that. Let's talk about the films, because the films are like the most important part. I will say I was a bit disappointed with the films as well, because I did not find my coda, as Gabriela likes to say with her Sundance favorite. No, I did not find something that really gripped me. And yeah, that was my main thing. We both watched a total of about 15 to 16 films. And I'm going to let Gabriela jump in on what she enjoyed. We're just going to mention the ones we do recommend. And hopefully Ana and Juan jump in if there's one that you were looking forward to, one that you would like to see, etc. Let's have a little chat.
Okay, so like Josie said, there was no coda at this festival, which was very, very sad for me, because I did find some films that I really liked, but none of them ignited that love and that passion that I had with Coda at Sundance and Language Lessons at South by Southwest. So, but I'm just going to say, it's not that they were all bad, because I did watch some films that I really enjoyed. So I'm just going to mention my top five. So my favorite film from the festival is one called Last Film Show. It is a film from India, and it is directed by Pan Nalin. And it follows a 9-year-old boy in a remote village in India that begins a lifelong love affair with cinema when he bribes his way into a rundown movie palace and spends a summer watching movies from the projection booth. I really love this film. Like, it brought me to tears at the end. And it was just a story that I related to a lot. And it is such a love letter to film. And it was just a really wonderful story. And I'm sure that anyone who grew up, you know, loving the world of film is going to relate to this one. It was just so lovely, and it brought me to tears. And I remember telling Josie that if there was one film that I wanted her to watch, it was this one. And it was a voice message of me crying. And she was like, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "No." Because the ending really wrecked me. But that was my favorite, like my favorite one of Tribeca. Then the next one, my second favorite, it was kind of like a tie between Last Film Show and Perfume de Gardenias, directed by Macha Colón. Now, this is a Puerto Rican film, and it follows Isabel, who after the death of her husband, she is enlisted by a coterie of gossipy elderly women in her neighborhood to plan and create custom funerals. Now, this film, you know, we've talked about Puerto Rican cinema and how, you know, there seems to lack a spark. And so there's like very few films that have that spark here. And this film is just wonderful. We have a full review on it on our YouTube channel if you want to go more into detail. But this film is absolutely wonderful. It's funny. It has a lot of heart. It's directed beautifully. It also offers a lot of commentary in terms of what is going on in Puerto Rico. And, you know, a great cast. It's
wonderful. So Perfume de Gardenias, I really hope it becomes available soon because I truly loved it. So my third favorite film is India Sweets and Spices, directed by Geeta Malik. Now, at first, like this film in the second act is kind of like hits a stop. Like it, like the second act was not that great, so it kind of lost me there. But then the third act is just so wonderful that it completely won me over. So this film, it follows a college freshman as she confronts her parents' values in order to understand her own evolving identity. It was wonderful. Like, that third act sold me on this film. It was very funny. A lot of art. Great performances. So, it was wonderful. I also hope this one becomes available soon. Next, my fourth favorite was The Novice, which actually won the Drama Award at the festival, as well as performance and directing. And honestly, out of all of the films I watched, The Novice had my favorite directing. So it's directed by Lauren Hathaway, and it follows Alex Dahl, a college freshman who joins her university's rowing team and undertakes an obsessive physical and psychological journey to make it to the top varsity boat, no matter the cost. So this film is very psychological, and a trigger warning for self-harm, because that caught me completely unaware, and it was very, like, it was not nice. It was very disturbing. But other than that, that film was so intense. It kind of felt like watching Uncut Gems at one point. But Isabel Furman steals the show. Like, this is her best performance I've ever seen of hers. So she was remarkable in this film. And yeah, the film is very intense. It's truly an anxiety attack from the second act forward, because you don't know at one point she is going to go to achieve what she wants, because it's obsessive at this point. She's just become obsessed of being the best rower at her team. So it was very intense. Like, I thought at one point the film was going to end at a specific point, and then it didn't. And I kind of would have liked had it ended there, because then the ending kind of, like, I would have liked the ambiguous ending, because then where it ends, it kind of gives closure. And I don't know, I kind of wanted the ambiguity of it. But overall, I still really like this film. And finally, my fifth favorite film is Queen of Glory, directed by Nana Mensah. So this film follows Sarah, a doctoral student at Columbia University, who is weeks away from following her married boyfriend to Ohio when her mother dies suddenly, leaving her as the owner of a small but beloved Christian bookstore in the Bronx. So this film clearly felt very personal, and it was very lovely. I really like, you know, seeing this culture so beautifully portrayed, and seeing Sarah grow as a person, because at first she kind of felt very one note, and then by the end of the film she has truly evolved into someone who is very secure of herself, and, you know, not the selfish person that she was at the beginning. I really like, you know, it's a wonderful film in terms of character development, and the directing is beautiful. And I just thought it was a really beautiful film, and it made me very emotional. I really liked the story and the perspective it had. So, yeah, those are my top five films. I really liked that most of them were directed by women. So, yeah, 4 out of 5 were directed by women. So, I love that for me. But, yeah, those were the films that my favorite films from Tribeca. And also, I want to give a shout out to 7 Days, which was directed by Roshan Sethi. So that film was originally in my top 5. And it follows Ravi and Rita, who after the prearranged date organized by the traditional Indian parents, they are forced to shelter in place together as COVID-19 intensifies. So, like, I'm kind of over pandemic movies, not gonna lie. But I was interested in this one. And also, the coolest thing happened is that I got to be on a Zoom call with, like, everyone involved in this film. So the directors, the actors, the producers, and one of the producers was none other than Mark Duplass. And, you know, I'm a big fan of Mark Duplass. You know, he's made some of my all-time favorite films. So I really like his work. And I got to be on a Zoom call with him. And I did not know it was a Zoom call. That's a whole other story. I did not know that it was just, you know, a full-on Zoom call with them. I thought it was just going to be like a webinar or something like that. And then to my surprise, I log on to Zoom and it's actually like a full-on Zoom call and Mark Duplass is there. And yeah, we got to talk to everyone. Everyone was so nice. And, you know, it made me like the film a lot more, you know, knowing how it came to be, how everyone involved were all friends and they just simply wanted to make something to get out of this rut, of the created rut that they were in. So overall, it's a cute film. Like, it's fun. You know, I think in terms of pandemic movies, I think it's a good one to watch because the chemistry between the leads was great. The humor was great. And yeah, it's a fun film. But yeah, what made it special was just getting to talk to everyone involved. And yeah, so that's all the films that I loved from Tribeca.
So I personally wanted to see Perfume de Gardenias because in my university, they talked a lot about the director, Macha Colón.
Mm-hmm.
And they talked about her process of doing this film. And I thought it was pretty interesting. So I really want to watch it. I'm excited for it. So on the other hand, when I heard you talked about your top five, there was this one that kind of stand out that I'm going to check out The Novice. It kind of looks like a movie, like, it's for me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was watching it. I kept thinking, Anna would probably like this. Because it literally, at one point, feels like Uncut Gems.
Love that. But now, there was this, like, I was watching what movies they were going to, like, premiere on Tribeca. And there were some that caught my interest, but you didn't mention them, so I don't know if Josie is the one that has her. So it was False Positive.
Oh, I watched that. It's on Hulu right now. You can watch it on Hulu. Oh,
love that. Okay, I'm gonna add it to my watch. Yeah.
Spoiler, spoiler, spoiler alert. Josie liked it more than me.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. I liked it more than Gabriela.
Because I saw on Twitter, there's a lot of, like, there's two ways. Are people going to like it or people are going to hate it?
Mm. Yeah, definitely.
And the other one that I saw that was, like, you know, kind of interesting and people were talking about, it has some Twin Peaks, you know, vibes to it. It's called Ultrasound.
Oh, yeah, I saw that one.
How was it?
I mean, it felt more like Black Mirror than Twin Peaks, honestly.
Okay.
It was interesting. Like, the mystery was a lot of fun. But I don't know. When it ended, I was kind of like, okay. I don't know. Like, it was cool. But then it ended, I'm like, I'm probably not going to remember this. Like, it wasn't bad. It was just kind of like, I thought it was going to blow my mind more. Because then they revealed, like, the whole mystery. And it's kind of like, oh, that's it? Okay. Cool. I think you would like it. I think that it's a movie that you should give a chance when it becomes available.
Mm-hmm.
I think you would enjoy it. Because I enjoyed my time with it. It's just, it ended. And then I was kind of like, okay, sure.
The other film that I saw, like, in my timeline, and I was like, this is interesting, this could work for me, is called See For Me, that it plays with the senses, I think.
Yeah, Josie and I saw it.
How was it? It was fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was fun.
But like, does the tension, does it really grip you, or it's just like, it's just there?
There's not like the tension. It's there.
It was just good. It handles it was well. Good. It feels more like a date night kind of blockbuster kind of film. It doesn't. It's not groundbreaking, por decirlo así, pero fue interesante el concepto. It was like, it was the most engaging out of all of this lineup, I would say. I did like how they bounced off each other. Story-wise, it could have improved in some points, but I would disagree with Gabriela. I think the tension was well handled.
Yeah, it was fun, honestly. And it's only an hour and 30 minutes, so... So, Juan, is there a film from Tribeca that caught your attention or you wanted to know more about?
Yeah, there was a film I was interested in, which I saw on the lineup. It seemed very much like my kind of film. I hadn't seen a lot of people review it. I'm not sure if there was something wrong with its access or not. It's called Werewolves Within.
Yes. So that was one of the films that turns out we were not able to access.
Were restricted.
Yeah.
No. Oh. Yeah. That looked so good. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. Because
it looked like a lot of fun.
It did. And I watched the trailer in the previews as I was waiting for the Cannes selected film, Fast and Furious 9. The trailer showed up. So the trailer showed up and I saw it and it looked interesting. I know it's a video game adaptation, but it's apparently, it's a video game adaptation. I didn't know that either. I saw that when I did some info research, and it's apparently a video game research adaptation. It's supposed to be really well done. It's supposed to be like funny, but also horror, which right up my alley. So it's a shame that you guys didn't get a chance to see it. But I'm definitely going to see it. It's supposed to come out really soon. I think July
2nd. It's already out.
Is it? I think it's supposed to be out on PVOD July 2nd.
Theaters, I think.
Ah, there it is.
It's not. Oh, okay. It's not here yet. It's not in Caribbean cinemas yet. Okay. So it's apparently going to be out in VOD July 2nd, allegedly. And in Caribbean cinemas, it's supposed to be out July 15th. Okay, that's not bad. It looked good to me, honestly.
Yeah, it looked fun. And I know the people that attended Tribeca in person that got to see it really enjoyed it, so.
I mean, it's werewolves attacking a small town. Like, sold.
Exactly. My type of film. Bring on the monsters.
Exactly. That is your kind of film, honestly.
That is my film.
It's the monster agenda.
Yes.
You know, the Tribeca slate, I kind of don't remember much of it. I'm sorry. I don't remember much of it. I remember Werewolves Within. I'm very glad you guys enjoyed the films you saw. The slate itself, I don't remember much of it. I remember the ones you all saw because you all talked about it in the chat. In terms of, like, for example, Perfume the Gardenia, which you guys had a chance to review on YouTube.
Yeah.
So... Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen that one yet, Perfume de Gardenia. Based on your rave reviews, I'm probably going to get around to it at some point.
It's a fun film.
Was there any film that you were like, that kind of seems like a Huang film?
I don't know. I would say you might like Poser, but it was very slow. So take that with a grain of salt. Though I really liked one of the artists who is actually a real artist. She was just playing herself, kind of. Which I thought was pretty cool. And she gave me Halsey vibes. So I really like that. But you might like Dating in New York because it mixes kind of that old school Walt Disney animation feel. So like Cinderella, Sleeping Beauty, and Snow White with classic romantic comedies. And it's basically about... So after meeting on the dating app called Meet Cute and having a one-night stand, two New York millennials draw up a best friends with benefits contract to avoid the pitfalls of a relationship. And it's directed by Jonah Feingold, and I think you might like it. One of the protagonists is
Jabuki Young White, who is known for his comedy bits with Trevor Noah on The Daily Show. Twitter. And then there's Francisca Real, and she is also in Yes, God, Yes, which is where I first saw her. And I was a little disappointed with this film, but it was fun. So I think you can find, I think you'll definitely find something good from it, because there is a lot of good in this film. I just wish it had been better, but again, it's very entertaining.
I mean, that kind of sums up my alley, so I'm going to put that, like Anna says, on the watch list. I was going to say, when you said Poser had a Halsey type character, I'm here like, oh, I'm in.
It's so funny because
she's an actual, like, she's real. She's a real musician, and she was just playing herself. Like, she was a character, but, like, her character's name is her actual musical persona.
Oh, that's cool.
What's so funny about Poser is that it's about a girl that runs a podcast, and the movie's called Poser.
Our impact.
So, I think Poser could go, if I'm not mistaken, the name of the film from South by Southwest was Sound of Violence.
Oh, yeah!
Oh.
Less violent. Yes, it's not as violent.
It's a slow burn, but in the end you're like, oh, dang.
Yeah.
Also, the name of the artist is Bobby Kitten. She played herself. Yeah, I really liked her. She was my favorite part of the film. Yeah, it had a lot of potential. I was really hoping for more from Poser, and there is a lot that you can appreciate from the film, but again, it falls flat in certain areas.
Yeah.
But in terms of my top five, it's the same one as Gabriela, just a little bit rearranged. My number five film, we actually got to interview the director on our YouTube channel, Aisha Ford, so my number five is Cherry Lemonade, which, again, follows on a hot summer day in a lower-income neighborhood. A black girl learns to take the lead on her own terms. It is an 11-minute short. It is directed by Aisha Ford, and you can find our interview on our YouTube channel. Then my fourth one is India Sweets and Spices. My third one is Last Film Show. My second one is Queen of Glory, and my first one is Perfume de Gardenias.
Oh my god, we have such impeccable taste, Josie.
I was gonna say, what I've noticed with us in film festivals is we always try to find the bright spot with certain films, and we always seem to find those gems that either get talked about later or we end up like showing more people that they should keep an eye out for. So I kind of think that's our power, not gonna lie.
And for example, I still think about Censor every day,
honestly.
I saw that movie show up on my timeline. Like, I've seen people some
it's already
talk about
out.
It.
It's already out. It's already available.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll watch it.
I mean, it's the ending. The ending really is impactful.
It's also
and
how
just the aesthetic in general.
Yeah. Also, I keep thinking about Gaia from South by Southwest, and it's coming out very soon as well, so we love that.
Well, that's all for today's episode. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for listening in. I hope we gave you some very good film recommendations. I hope some of these make it onto your future watch lists. And yeah, we'd also like to thank you for listening and to give a shout out to all the kind people sending love our way. If you'd like to keep up with us, make sure to follow us at Film Posers on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. Make sure to follow us individually on our Letterboxd accounts, because we do make lists ranking the films we watch at these festivals and our anticipated films for upcoming festivals such as Cannes and Tribeca. And yeah, also we currently have a little Film Posers production running, which is hashtag Mad and Raving, so please check that out. Make sure to keep up with us on Twitter, especially because we will be announcing our next projects. And yes, just a lot of cool stuff coming in. We shall see you in the fall for our next season. But for now, again, social medias, and don't forget about us. We love you guys. Yes, Film Posers forever.
Yeah.
Where can they find you, posers?
So you can find me on Twitter at Gabby_Burgos27 and on Letterboxd at Gabby Cristina.
So you can find me on Letterboxd as Anna_Sophia and on Instagram and on Twitter as Anna_Sophia53.
So you can find me on Letterboxd and on Twitter at Leading Mohicans.
And you can find me at The Josie Marie on Twitter and Letterboxd. Again, thank you for listening. And remember, we're all film posers. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.